This audio sermon is provided by AnabaptistSermons.com and may be freely copied and distributed. You may not sell or edit this sermon. Our prayer is that you would be blessed by this ministry.
I would like to talk to us this morning about peace and what is it that gives us peace. And as I looked at this term in the Bible, I'd like to read a number of scripture references. As I looked in my Strong's Concordance, one of the first references that I found that actually used the word peace was when Joseph was meeting his brothers for the second time. They had come to Egypt to buy corn, and they said, you know, we found this money that in our bags. We had paid you for the money, but somehow it was in the bags. Of course, Joseph knew everything about that. But in Genesis chapter 43, verse 23, he said to them, peace be to you. Fear not, your God and the God of your father hath given you treasure in your sacks. I had your money. I received your money. Don't worry about it. Be at ease, is what Joseph was saying there. And as I think of peace and what is it that brings peace to us, I thought of the words of Jesus, and I'd like for you to turn with me to John chapter 14, where John wrote, actually he was rehearsing the words of Jesus here, and John wrote about peace, and he wrote about that which brings us peace. If we look at the externals, right now is not a very good time to feel good about things that we see around us. And I was thinking, there was a scripture that went through my mind, and I'm not sure where it is found, but Jesus said somewhere to his disciples as he was prophesying, I think about the end of time, he said that we should look up, for your salvation draws nigh. And I think that is what God would have us do as we live in times that where there is a lot of economic uncertainty, as Brother Wendell already mentioned. John chapter 14, verse 1, let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And whither I go, ye know, and the way ye know. Thomas saith unto him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest, how can we know the way? Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. If ye had known me, ye should have known my Father also. And from henceforth ye know him, and have seen him. Philip saith unto him, Lord, show us the Father, and it sufficeth us. Jesus saith unto him, have I been so long time with you, and yet hast thou not known me, Philip? He that hath seen me hath seen the Father. And how sayest thou then, show us the Father? Believest thou not that I am in the Father, and the Father in me? The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwelleth in me, he doeth the works. Believe me that I am in the Father, and the Father in me, or else believe me for the very work's sake. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. And whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If ye ask anything in my name, I will do it. If ye love me, keep my commandments. And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another Comforter, that he may abide with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but ye know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. I will not leave you comfortless, I will come to you. Yet a little while, and the world seeth me no more. But ye see me, because I live, ye shall live also. At that day ye shall know that I am in my Father, and ye in me, and I in you. He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me, and he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father. And I will love him, and will manifest myself to him. Judas saith unto him, not Iscariot, Lord, how is it that thou wilt manifest thyself unto us, and not unto the world? Jesus answered and said unto him, If a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and we will come unto him, and make our abode with him. Okay, verse 27 is one I wanted to read through verse 27. He that loveth me not keepeth not my sayings, and the word which ye hear is not mine, but the Father's which sent me. These things have I spoken unto you, yet being present with you. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things, and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. We'll stop reading there. I find it interesting here the way that we see peace intertwined in this passage. If we are looking for peace, where is it that Jesus said that we can find it? Brother Wendell said, in the rock. Not at a distance, but in the shelter of the rock, where that rock protects us. And Jesus said what that rock is. He is the rock. And finding our place in him is what brings peace. As I think of peace, sometimes looking at the opposite helps us to understand peace. And as I think of the opposite, I think of when Adam and Eve sinned, and God came into the garden and said, Adam, where art thou? And you remember what Adam answered, Lord, I was afraid when I heard your voice, and I hid myself. And, of course, we ask the question, why was he afraid? It's because he was no longer at peace with himself and with his God, was he? He was at odds. He had a guilty conscience. He wasn't feeling good about what he knew. What does the world think of when they think of peace is a question that I asked as I was thinking about this message. I think the world thinks of when things go well, externally, they think of peace. I have used this illustration that somebody, to depict peace, painted a painting, and he pictured a lake, and everything was serene there. It was just very calm. No waves, no nothing. And I think that's the world's idea of peace, because they look on external things as they think about peace. When we feel in control of things, when we have money to pay our bills, our neighbors are easy to get along with, and we don't have problems, that is what the world thinks of when they think of peace. Turmoil, then, as far as the world is concerned, is when the economy falters or fails, when external things go wrong. And it's no longer, we look at those things and they make us feel, you know how we feel inside, we're not quite sure, but it brings something of fear. I remember as a young child when there were certain things that brought fear to my mind, and I think this is what the world thinks of. Now, do we get the picture? The world looks at external things, we look at internal things to find our comfort. Now, there's a question that comes to mind, and I have said this, and I believe it with all my heart. I'm glad that our security is not in the banks or other financial institutions of our country or our world. And I believe that. Does it affect us? And I think if we're honest, we have to admit that, yes, it affects us. But we do not have to live in fear. And I believe that is why Jesus spoke the words that he did in John chapter 14. And as you look at this, and we could spend a lot of time looking at this, and I'm not going to spend a lot of time looking at this. But do you notice what comes out of this passage in God's Word? Notice that several times, if I'm not mistaken, he said, "If ye love me, keep my commandments." Oh. He is talking about a relationship with him, is he not here? Having a relationship with God is what brings peace to us. Now, it doesn't mean that we are unaffected by externals. I think we understand that. But it does mean that we have a place to go to that the world does not. In view of that, let's look at, turn with me to Hebrews chapter 11. I'd like to just simply notice what some of the patriarchs, and I'd like to read a portion of Scripture here. Notice what it was that gave peace to the patriarchs here. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 8. "By faith Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed, and he went out, not knowing whither he went." That make you feel peaceful if you were going? You weren't sure where you're going? He knew who he was following, I believe. "By faith he sojourned in the land of promise as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles, in tents, with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promises. For he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God." His view was not so much on this earth, but he was looking for a city here that have foundations, and I am so glad that we have that same city to look for. "Through faith also Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed, and was delivered of a child when she was past age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. Therefore sprang there even of one, and him as good as dead, so many as the stars of the sky in multitude, and as the sand which is by the seashore innumerable. These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them, and embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. For they that say such things declare plainly that they seek a country. And truly, if they had been mindful of that country from whence they came out, they might have had opportunity to have returned. But now they seek a better country, that is an heavenly. Wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he hath prepared for them a city." It's a beautiful picture that we have as God's people. And as I think of the words here in verse 11, it says, "Through faith, Sarah was able to bear a son." And that's a concept that I see repeatedly as I look at what Jesus had to say when he pronounced peace on different people. Faith is a very important thing for us. In Psalm 119, verse 165, it says, "Great peace have they which love thy law. Great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them." Does that sound like a person who knows what real peace is? It does, doesn't it? "Nothing shall offend them." The prophecy of Jesus coming in Isaiah chapter 9, verse 7. I knew this prophecy. I've read it many times. But somehow the word peace in there stood out at me as I was looking at this. "Of the increase of his government and peace," it says, "there shall be no end." Of the increase of his government and peace, there shall be no end. As I contemplated on that verse, we received some communication through the Voice of the Martyrs, and we get a little bit of a picture of what happens as the kingdom of God increases and grows in places where it is severely persecuted. The last issue talked about getting the word into North Korea. And they have rather ingenious ways of doing that. They use ways of doing that, although the borders are closed. when the wind is in the right direction, they have balloons that take many, many tracts up into the air. And I wondered, well, do they just let them float and come down? But no, they're a little more high-tech than that. They release them a package at a time as they're floating across North Korea. And the word is getting in, and people are learning to trust the Lord, even there where there is a state religion. Worship of the emperor is mandatory there. And I'm not sure that I knew that. But I say the emperor, the ruler there. There's a father and son ruler there, if I'm not mistaken. A very repressive regime. But the gospel is reaching even there. And as I read this prophecy of Christ and of his kingdom, of the increase of his government and peace, there shall be no end. And it says more than that. But the zeal of the last part of the verse is this: the zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. On the other side of peace, peace is pronounced for us as God's people. But Isaiah 48, verse 22 says, "There is no peace, saith the Lord, unto the wicked." People who do not trust in God do not experience peace. As I think of the price that our peace cost us, we are well acquainted with the prophecy in Isaiah chapter 53, but somehow the connection with peace here was lost on me until I was studying for this. Isaiah chapter 53, verse 5 says, "But he was pierced for our transgressions," and this is the NIV, by the way, "he was pierced for our transgressions, he was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was upon him, and by his wounds we are healed." Now, you notice what our peace cost Jesus. He was crushed. The punishment that brought us peace was upon him. He was pierced. By his wounds we are healed. The price of our peace was high. It is higher than we can imagine, but Jesus was willing to do that for us. Jesus, in speaking to his apostles when he sent them out, I forget, was it the 12 or was it the 70? But he told them that they should go out and they should not take things with them. Then he had an interesting thing to say in Matthew chapter 10, verse 13. "If the house be worthy, let your peace come upon it." What was Jesus saying? "If the house be worthy, let your peace come upon it." Was Jesus not saying that there is a connection that comes when people are wanting to serve the same God and recognize that peace by letting your peace come upon this house, is what he was saying. I was reminded of when I was in service, we were surrounded, my fellow BSer and I were surrounded by many people who did not know the peace of God. We had a good relationship with them. But I remember what happened one day when there was a group of people that came to preach the gospel in that town. And there was a connection there that we had with them that we did not have with other people in the town. And I had to think of that as I thought of this verse: "Let your peace come upon it." It's a source of identification, connection. We are one with these people, is what this peace is saying to us. Now, there is a contrast as well. Remember the words of Jesus in Matthew chapter 10, verse 34. He said there that, "I am not come to bring peace, but a sword. I'm come to get in between family members," Jesus said there. If you turn to that scripture, you will see that. Identifying with Christ brings division from people who do not identify with him. And sometimes that is family members, Jesus is saying here. But it does bring a connection with those people that do have that same connection with Jesus that we do. In Mark chapter 4, verse 39, Jesus was in the boat with his disciples, and The weather was such that the disciples were living in fear. These hardened fishermen said, "Lord, don't you care that we're going to perish?" And he got up, and you remember the words that he spoke to, "Peace be still," I think is what he said. And everything calmed down. Jesus is not oblivious to the circumstances surrounding us. These things are real to us, and he recognizes that for us. And he does help us to cope with those things that we have to cope with. I said a little bit ago that there is a connection between faith, the word faith, and peace. In Mark chapter 5, verse 34, Jesus spoke words of peace to a woman there. Jesus was on his way to Jairus' house because Jairus had asked him to come. His daughter is at the point of death, and you remember what happened. The woman came and touched his garment through the press. She managed to get through and touch the clothes that Jesus was wearing. And Jesus knew that she did. He felt virtue going from him. He felt power leaving him. And so he turned around and said, "Who touched me?" The disciples said, "Well, what a question." But no, Jesus said, "Who touched me?" And the woman came up, trembling and afraid, and confessed what was done. She knew she was healed. And Jesus' pronouncement on her was interesting to me. "Daughter, thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace and be whole of thy plague." The connection between faith and peace. Do we not have to have faith to make that connection with God in order to have peace? Am I not correct in saying that? Different times I noticed that Jesus said very much the same thing to his disciples. As I think of peace, I would not think of John the Baptist as a person who was a very peaceful person. He was very outspoken. He told people what they were doing wrong. But Zacharias, his father, prophesied about him. And in Luke chapter 1, verse 79, he said this is part of what he is to do. And he was just a baby at that time. He was to give light to them that sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace. And as I think of Jesus or John the Baptist's outspokenness, you know, his outspokenness cost him his head. He told Herod, "You should not have her. You are living in adultery." And it eventually cost him his head. But what about these words, to guide our feet into the way of peace? It is peace for those who listen, for those who are willing to do what he asked them, what God asks us to do, then it gives peace to us. And the angel came to the shepherds in Luke chapter 2. And then it says, a heavenly host joined the angel. And this is what they said, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill to men." Or other translations say more like peace to men of goodwill. I think the NIV says, "On earth peace to man on whom his favor rests." Peace is pronounced on people who are willing to do what God had told them to do. In John chapter 16, verse 33, Jesus was telling his disciples, "Now, I'm going to die. I'm going to leave you." But in verse 33 of John chapter 16, this is what Jesus said, "These things have I spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace. In the world you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world." It's not in the externals that we look for peace. Now, if you would turn with me to Romans, I would like to look at just Romans chapter 5. I'd like to look at a few verses here with you. Again here, notice faith and peace as we read here. Romans chapter 5, verse 1. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein ye stand, and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope. And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given us. I appreciate that beautiful word picture of what it is that gives us peace. It's faith, and then he tells us the other things that we can experience that go hand in hand with that. And one more scripture reference in Romans. Turn with me to Romans chapter 8, just a few verses. Verse 6 through 8 of Romans chapter 8, for to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. I read one more verse there because I thought it should be included in that. We see that the carnal mind cannot have peace with God, but the spiritual mind can. As I thought of the fact of having peace with God, I was drawn to something else, but I think I'll leave that for another time. As we have peace with God, does it not follow that we as God's people will be peacemakers? And you can read about that in a number of places. I'd like to look at one more scripture and just simply use that as a kind of a benediction and a closing. If you will turn with me to 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 14. Wherefore, beloved, seeing that ye look for such things, be diligent that ye may be found of him in peace, without spot, and blameless. One of the questions that came to me as I was studying for this message, and I'm not sure if I have the answer for that, but what response does peace with God call for from you and me? And then the question came to me, is the response always going to be the same for different people? And I think we could answer that question several different ways and still be right. I think it is true that we will always heed God's voice. If we want peace, the Holy Spirit speaks to me, I must heed the Holy Spirit. Now, the Holy Spirit may not say exactly the same thing to all of us all the time. Because of different circumstances, he may say, go to one when he says stay to the other. Or at a different time, he may say go or stay. But I think it is very important that we are in tune with God's Word, with God's Holy Spirit, and that we hear what he is saying to us, and that we are willing to do what he tells us to do. Are we oblivious to the things around us? No, we aren't. But as we see these things, we are admonished to look beyond these things and remember that our salvation draws nigh if we're faithful. May we be found faithful in him.